You may be seated. Thank you very much. We appreciate the privilege of being here tonight. I see quite a few of my friends, different people, visiting ministers from over in the state of Texas. We're glad to have you. We appreciate the invitation to come, as I mentioned, and we greet Brother Penny, the district board, the other district officials, minister friends, saints of God, throughout this great fellowship. And I hope that I can do justice tonight to the invitation. Praise God. We've enjoyed the service. We got here just in time last night to hear Brother Spears' message, and I told somebody, I said, he's sure going to make me dig up and preach tomorrow night. Because he was really putting it on, wasn't he? How many of you enjoyed that good message last night? Really good. I enjoyed the message, and we appreciate the ministering of God's precious word. That's the most important thing. Outside of salvation, well, I guess including salvation, because you couldn't be saved without it. I'm glad to belong to the Church of the Living God. I'm talking about the living God. I'm not talking about one that somebody talks about or heard about or tells a story about. I'm talking about one that lives in our hearts by the power of His Spirit. Amen. I just soon to have Texas camp meeting here in Louisiana as I had anywhere else. Amen. Praise God. Always enjoyed coming to Louisiana campgrounds, camp meetings, and other various functions that you had. Great spirit, great fellowship. We've been treated so kind since we've been here. Kind of makes an old Texas country boy feel like he's somebody. I didn't say I was somebody. I just said the way they treat you make you feel like you're somebody. Amen. I'm glad to be part of the great fellowship, God's people. And I trust and pray that somehow that the Holy Ghost can help us tonight. And if the Lord will help us, then I feel like the Word can grip our hearts, touch our hearts, and bless our hearts. I want to read tonight from the 16th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. We will begin reading with verse 13. This is an old familiar scripture. And we'll read down through verse 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Would you bow your heads in a word of prayer? I'd like for Brother Deeds, if you will. Brother Deeds has meant a lot in my life. I'd like for him to come tonight and ask the Lord to bless His Word. Brother Deeds.
Dear Lord, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. We ask You to look upon us, solemnize our heart, help us to open up our heart. We ask You to bless Brother McNeely to share with us what You have shared with him. work your will, anoint your word, and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'll have a little more to say tomorrow night about some of the brethren of this district that have meant a lot to us down through the years. But the hour is late, and I'd like to just move right to the end of the message tonight. I want to talk about tonight the indestructible church. Everybody say indestructible church. There's a difference between a label and a name. Just being labeled a Christian or being labeled Pentecostal or being labeled the church, that really means nothing. But being a child of God in name and character means everything. We're not the church tonight just because we claim to be the church. You believe that? Say amen. We are the church because God has chosen us. And He's placed us in this land to be the habitation of His Spirit. And He has chosen the church to be the place where His name dwells. When God calls His name to dwell in any place, if you read in the Word of God, whether it was at the altar, the tabernacle, the temple, or wherever, that place became the special seat of the divine presence of God Himself. I said, when He calls His name to dwell in a certain place, then that place where His name dwells became the special seat of divine presence of God Himself, and that place contained all that God was in glory, in power, and in authority. So the church tonight is a place that God has selected and chosen to be the dwelling place of His name. And that's where we get our power and the authority of God. There's Brother Gibson over there. I'm telling you, he knows what I'm talking about tonight. Praise God. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 19. The reason I'm saying that the church is indestructible, there's a reason why it's indestructible. And you know, if it could have been destroyed, defeated, overthrown, it would have been done so many centuries ago. It has not been because the church has not been attacked. It has been attacked by governments and powers and emperors and agnostics and infidels that put a seal with their blood saying we'll destroy the church from the foundation of this earth. But the church is still here. And I'll tell you another little secret right behind it. It'll be here until Jesus gets ready to take it out. I don't care what emperor, what government, or what power, what empire decides to try to attack it, to defeat it, the church will march on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It'll march on. The church is indestructible. You can't destroy the church. I'll get back to my text in just a few moments. But 1 Corinthians 6:19 talks about this body becoming the temple or the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. All right, so when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're actually receiving God into this body. That's right. Then our bodies become the temple or the dwelling place or the habitation
of the Spirit of God Himself. All right. And His name dwells in that temple through the power of baptism that Brother Spear talked about last night. All right. Now then, here's what happens to your body. The body, since it becomes the dwelling place of God's Spirit and the dwelling place of the name of God, then your body becomes the place or the seat or the habitation of the divine presence of God Himself. And you contain, in any other measure, you contain within your body the power, the glory, and the authority that God has invested into the church of the living God. Hallelujah. And so your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. The name dwells there. The body becomes the seat of the divine presence of God Himself. Therefore, our body becomes the vessel through which God reveals His character, His personality, and His power and glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so that's what the church is. And all of us tonight here in this camp meeting make up collectively part of the body of Jesus Christ. And when we come here, this is the seat or the dwelling place. Your body is the dwelling place of the divine presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. The church is indestructible. The devil cannot destroy the church. Hallelujah. Because God lives in the church. You can't destroy God. And when the presence of God lives in the body of the believer, you can destroy the body, physical body, which is nothing more than the temple or the tabernacle or the dwelling place of God Himself. But when you destroy the physical human body, you have not touched the believer. The believer only lives inside of that body. The body that dwells indwelt by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can persecute, destroy, talk about, do anything you want to the body, but the physical body is not the church of the living God. It's the presence that dwells inside of your spirit, that's all down inside of your heart. Hallelujah. Wherein dwells the seat or becomes the seat of the presence of God Himself. So God does not live in the body per se, that He is in the flesh, the bones, or the blood. He lives in the spirit of man, and man himself lives in the body. Therefore, your physical body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. I want to go back now to Matthew 16 and 18. I want to talk about this a little bit. Hallelujah. Jesus said here, said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, some say you're this and that and something else, somebody else. He said, "I want to know, who do you say I am?" And of course, the Apostle Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," etc. And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Then he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And this is what I want to talk about tonight, the revelation that was upon which the church is built. That this is why there are three different reasons that the church cannot be defeated, overthrown, or destroyed. And I want to talk about those three reasons tonight. Number one is because it's built upon a rock. Not just any rock, but it's built upon the rock. All right, notice here. Peter declares the revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. He had a revelation of who Jesus was. It wasn't just another man. It wasn't just another philosopher. But not just another prophet. He was God manifest in the flesh. And Peter recognized that through divine revelation. Hallelujah. So the church is not built upon the philosophy of man, the doctrines of man, the ideals of men, the opinions of men. It's built upon the deity of Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah. praise God. And so Jesus turns here to the Apostle Peter, and he declares that through this revelation, which is the rock, that Peter had a revelation as to who Jesus Christ was. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. All right, let's talk about this rock here. This rock upon which the church was to be built refers to a large, massive structure. If you go back and study the root word of the word rock there, it means, in phrasing it, it means a large, massive structure. This is one of the reasons that the church cannot be destroyed. It's not something that sits out here on, like a rock sitting out here on the top of the earth somewhere, but it's like a Gibraltar rock. It's like the mountains of Colorado and Tennessee and the big mountains in Dakota. It's part of the earth. The church does not sit separate and apart from God. No, sir, friend. It rises up out of God. Hallelujah. You'd have to destroy God before you could destroy the church, because the word rock there means a large, massive structure. Praise God. It's rooted and grounded down in God Himself as to who He is. It's not separate apart from God. The church is not sitting off out here by itself, struggling along with trying to survive and trying to make it. No, sir, my friend. He said that this church upon which he was going to build was going to be built upon a rock. And that rock he talked about was the revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ that Peter had revealed to him by God Himself. It's a massive structure. It's something that rises up out of God. It comes from God. It's a part of God. Because the church is the body of God Himself. It's been purchased by His blood. Hallelujah. It's part of God. I said the church is part of God. It's not separate and apart from God. It's part of God. Amen. God lives in that body. The presence of God dwells there. So this rock here is actually translated to mean a large, massive structure which becomes the foundation upon which the church is built. So, because the church is built upon the foundation of the deity of Jesus Christ, the church becomes indestructible. There's no way that you could destroy a mountain in Colorado without digging up and destroying part of the earth, because that mountain that comes out of that ground is part of the terra firma of this earth. How many hurricanes have annihilated the mountains? How many tornadoes that come through the country and rip buildings and concrete and steel and everything else? It has no effect on the mountains. It has no effect on the mountains. Let the ice come. Let the rain come. Let it melt upon it. The rain will melt the ice, etc. But let me tell you something. The rain can come, he said, and beat upon the house. The floods can rise, and everything else can come. But nothing shall destroy that church of the living God, because it's built upon the rock, Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. The church becomes the dwelling place of God Almighty. Hallelujah. All right. Now then, he said the gates of hell. I've heard all kinds of interpretations of these two things here. Somebody said hell, said talk about the devil, and talk about going down to hell, and the devil ain't never been to hell. He ain't there now. I wish he was, but I'm sorry to tell you that he's not. He wasn't there when Jesus died either, and wasn't with the tomb. The devil ain't never been in hell. I'm talking about hellfire. He's not talking about hellfire here when he talks about the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's not even talking about death here. A lot of people want to say, talking about death. Well, you can interpret that as death, but let me tell you what it means. It means the unseen world of the wicked dead. That's what it means.
Now then, the unseen world of the wicked has the composition of two parts. Number one, it is the captivity or the place where that the wicked dead has gone waiting the white throne judgment. And then, of course, there's another unseen world of wickedness that you and I do not know anything about. We can't see it or feel it or touch it, and that's the habitation of the power of the devil that's in the atmosphere of this earth, which is, of course, becomes the kingdom through which he operates. Talking about the devil himself and his kingdom, his power, his demons that are on the face of this earth that's out to destroy it. Did you know that the church is the only institution on the face of the earth that is in opposition to the powers of the devil in destroying humanity in hell tonight? If it was not for the church, the devil would have nobody to hinder him. He could destroy every soul in the lake of fire. But the church is here, bless your heart, to stand in defiance of the powers of the devil. To reach out there and snatch that soul out of there. Hallelujah. The devil, he has no opposition outside of the church of the living God on the face of this earth. He has no opposition whatsoever. There's not a sinner sitting in these pews tonight would have a chance of missing hell if it wasn't for the church on the face of this earth. You'd be hell bound. Now then, he talks about gates here. Well, let's back up just a second. He said, upon this rock, upon the deity of God, or whoever God himself was manifested in the body of Jesus Christ, he's going to build his church. All right, so out of the deity of Christ himself rises the church. And so the church is not separate apart from God, but it rises up out of God. Therefore, the church is part of God, and God's part of the church. Because God lives in the church. All right, now the hell. Let's just interpret it any way you want to. Just say it's death. Just say it's the unseen world of the wicked, so forth. All right, so it is. The habitations, or the habitation of the wicked dead, and the satanic kingdom of this world. Two separate, different kingdoms all together. But just suppose that he said here that all of the wicked that have tried in opposition to the church to destroy the church, he said, I don't care how you interpret it, the wicked, wherever they are, cannot hinder or destroy, overthrow the church. They tried that. Then he said the unseen world will appear in the atmosphere of the earth where the devil has got his kingdom and all the demons and all of those that have strategy and opposition to the church of living God. Just let the devil and the demons and anybody else that he can get her, the wicked of this earth and the wicked that's going on in the unseen world, let them get together. They still cannot defeat, destroy, overthrow the church of the living God. All right, what's the gates here? The gates, of course, is not a linear gate like you'd put a gate here on this wrought iron banister separation here. Because you know the devil don't have no literal fences up there. But the gate is a symbol term here. And denotes the unseen world. And it refers to a council are a ruling body of governors that meet together to seek a plan and to formulate a strategy to oppose the church on the face of this earth. I don't know where the devil meets, Brother Sweet. I said Weeks, I meant Brother Tim. I don't know where the devil meets, but I guarantee he's got a meeting place. Do you hear me? I said he's got a meeting place. And it's not around a wooden gate, an iron gate, a wrought iron gate, or a concrete gate. It's a place of a council. It's a place where all of the prelates of the powers of hell meet together to plan the strategy. You see, the devil, he's not like God. He's not on I'll tell you what. There's some of them sitting here tonight to this camp meeting to try to formulate a little plan to destroy a soul that's sitting here tonight. But I've got news for the devil. He shall not prevail. He shall not prevail. We come here in the name of Jesus. This place is the name where his name dwells. We come in authority and the power and the glory of God himself, because the church is indestructible. And so here's what he's saying here in Matthew 16 and 18. The Lord is saying to his disciples, I have chosen you to become my church. My name will dwell in you. And where my name dwells, that's where the seat of my presence is. And where my presence is, there I live with the power and the authority and the glory that you need to accomplish that which I have commissioned you to complete on the face of this earth. Don't you know that the church is not here by accident for one second? There is a divine purpose of God for the church's existence on the face of this earth tonight. So what the Lord is actually saying here is this. He's saying, go ahead, devil. Go ahead and get all of your demons that you can gather up from the east and the west to scatter it out to oppose the church of the living God. And I'll tell you what else you do, devil. Not only do you get your chief demons and your chief leaders and your chief governors of your kingdom together, but you go to the graveyard. You go to where the wicked dead is. And you get up all the Jezebels that you can get. And you get the Ingersolls. And the Compaynes. And the Hobbits. And the Voltaires. And every other agnostic. The Diocletians. And the infidel. And atheistical Roman Empire kingdoms. And you get all of them together. They weren't the wise ones of their day. You get the Greek philosophers. You get all of those together and combine it, and you have a general conference and a meeting with all your strategists, and you try to formulate yourself a plan that will defeat the church of the living God. But you cannot, my friend, because the church is indestructible. It's built upon God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can destroy God before you can destroy the church. That's right. That's exactly right. I said you have to destroy God before you can destroy the church. Because God lives in the church. The church is the dwelling place of the presence of God himself. Hallelujah. So the church is going to be here when all them infidels is pushing up daisies. That's right. I'm going to tell you about some of them here in a little bit. That's right. Now let me, Brother D's going to read a little bit for me. Let me find out what, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, we'll read down through verse 14. But until that, let me tell you what the church is. The church is called the called out ones. That's what the word church means. It's the called out ones. Now when you read the scripture, the reference to the church gives it many, many titles and many names and tells you many characteristics about the church. Number one, it's the called out ones. It's the body of Christ. You believe that? It's the bride of Christ. Or at least part of it. That's debatable whether it's all of the bride or not. But anyway, we're included in it. At least they said it was debatable. Some of them debate it anyway. That's right. All right, listen to me now. So we're going to say that it's the body of Christ. And it's the bride of Christ. It's the redeemed of God. It's the purchased possession of God.
The church is the source that makes salvation possible to this lost and dying world. It's the medium through which God has selected to bring the redemptive plan that was revealed on the cross of Calvary that man could be saved. It comes through the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, I don't have to belong to the church down here just as though I belong to the one up there. I've got news to you. The church ain't up there yet. If there's a church, it's still right down here. There ain't no church up there. You hear me? You can't be independent, separated apart from the church, from the body of Christ. This is the church is not up there yet. Paul's body is still in the grave waiting the resurrection. You hear me?
Hallelujah.
You hear me? Peter's body is still in the grave. They hadn't received the fullness of their inheritance yet. Paul talked about it, and I'm going to talk about it.
Talk about it.
He hadn't got it. Paul hadn't got all his inheritance yet. You know when Paul's going to go to heaven in a glorified form? He's going to go same time me and you do, brother.
Right. That's right. That's Bible.
You read that book. That book says that the dead in Christ, is Paul dead or not? Did he die in Christ or not? The church was formed when? Anybody know when the origin of the church is? Tell me about it. Acts 2nd chapter. Are we still in the same dispensation as we were at the origin of the church? Well, sure we are. All right. Who's going to go to heaven at the rapture? The church of the living God. All right, so Paul hadn't gone there yet. I mean in the glorified form. Oh, I know he's in heaven. I know he's in the paradise of God. I know his spirit is separated from the body, awaiting to come back to be joined together, to resurrect that body and glorify it, and take us all together to be with the Lord in a glorified form, and then we'll have a body like the Jesus Christ had. Paul has not got his body like Jesus Christ promised him he was going to have. His body, as far as the habitation of that spirit is concerned, has been long since dead and decayed. But his spirit is somewhere in eternity in the presence of God. All right. So now here the church is a selected for the purpose of being the channel through which the knowledge of salvation might be brought to mankind. And I mentioned a while ago that the church is not here by accident. The church is God's called out ones. The selection is an act of God. He said to the 12, you didn't call me. You didn't choose me. I chose you.
Amen.
You know, you hear people talking about accepting Christ. Except in Christ, I'm sorry, and I want to be kind, but that doesn't put you in the bride of the church of the living God. It's whether or not He accepts you.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you here what He said, Brother D, in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, and verse 11. Yes, sir, read it.
In whom also, we have obtained an inheritance.
We, the church, have obtained an inheritance.
Being predestinated.
Now, don't worry, I'm not going to get on no false doctrine here on the predestination. I believe in the predestination of the church, the body of Christ, but I do not believe in the predestination of the individual. I believe that the choice is for you to obey the plan of salvation that God reveals through His body, which is the church, and you can't be saved outside of the church.
Praise God.
I am a oneness, apostolic, one God, tongue talking preacher, and I believe that's what you want here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I'm going to tell you why that the church can't be the son. It's predestinated by God. It's got a purpose here. He's got a will here. He thought it. He put it here for a specific reason. And there is nothing or nobody nor group of people can do anything about it. I challenge you to try. You'll be defeated every time. Oh, these preachers all over this congregation, let me see your hands. Every preacher, let me see your hand. Oh, I'm testifying. Brother Manion said tonight, he said, listen, I don't want you to testify if you can't do no preaching. He said, get out of the way and turn it over to me, or Brother Kid Rose, or Brother Urshan. That's what he said. And he meant it, too. So I'm just to kind of do a little testifying right now. We'll get out of preaching in a minute. All right, he was predestinated. In whom?
According to the purpose of him.
All right, now what did it predestinate for? According, by accident, just to put it down here, to kind of frown around, to kind of be blindfolded, but wonder what it's going to make it or not? No, sir. But if he called him according to his divine purpose. He had a purpose in calling those 12. He had a purpose in saving your soul. He's got a purpose in this town meeting tonight. He's got a purpose in call. Every preacher that's ever been called, that binds with the anointing of God to go out and preach the gospel. There was a purpose behind your call.
Amen.
Somebody said we still got apostles and prophets and all that in the church. Brother Tenney gives us a little eyebrow here. You better believe in the church. Same church that Paul and him was in. There's a purpose for them men being in there. So he had a purpose, Brother Dees.
Who worketh all things.
All right, who worketh all things.
After the counsel.
After the counsel.
Of his own will.
Of his own will. All right, come on down the line.
That we should be to the praise of his glory.
Now what are we here for? To be to the praise of his glory. Who not first? A talent show. Not personality parading. Not personal aggrandizement, but for his glory and his praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell every one of you something. And I've told myself this 1,000 times, and I hope I have convinced myself of this. If you are anything, and I am anything, and we ever accomplish anything in this world, it will be because of him who has called and chosen us and selected us and endowed us and endued us and overshadowed us and anointed us and put the power in us. You don't have power without it. You don't have grace without it. You don't have mercy without it. You don't have anointing without it. You're anointed from the day that you're the call. We hear the phrase a lot of times, oh God, put the anointing on you. You're ready. What you really want to say is, God, give him the inspiration. Because the day and the hour that God calls you, he anointed you with his spirit when he came inside. Praise God, and them elders laid your hand upon you and prayed for you and ordained you. That was the day that I was anointed of God. Hallelujah. You don't have the one anointing, but you have many inspirations. Oh, yes, sir, friend of mine. The day! The day! The day that God calls you to preach is the day that he anointed you as the ordained preacher of this gospel to carry the gospel to the lost world. But that's Pentecostal language when we say, Lord, anointed. We really mean, Lord, inspired.
You're anointed in your sleep.
That's the truth. I'm going to tell you something. Listen. You may not understand the value of what I'm trying to say. But a lot of times saints that don't understand the anointing of God in the life of a preacher, well, they think they don't have to listen to his counsel, that unless he's under the inspiration of the preaching of the word, they don't have to take personal counsel from him. He is just as much anointed when he sits across that room in that chair to give you advice and counsel and leadership as he is when he's inspired to preach from this body.
You better believe it.
You're just as much obligated to listen to that man's wisdom and counsel and leadership and guidance when he's talking to you in a normal tone of voice as you are if he's a screaming to the top of his voice like I've been doing here tonight.
Amen.
Let's thank the Lord for the word. Thank the Lord for the church. Well, praise God. All right, let's have the rest of that scripture.
In whom ye also trusted.
In whom ye also trusted.
After that you heard the word of
truth. After that you heard the word of truth.
The gospel of your salvation.
The gospel of your salvation.
In whom.
In whom.
Also.
Also.
After that ye believed.
After that ye believed.
You were sealed.
You were sealed.
With the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit. All right. Is that all of that verse? 2:14?
Which is the earnest of our inheritance.
All right, now listen. You have to believe. You trusted in the Word of God. The gospel of the truth. That God called a preacher to tell you about it. Hallelujah. Then after you believe, and after you receive the Spirit of God, that Spirit, that came, that will, and to dwell inside of your body, became the seal that seals you to the body and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's bring it home now. Has anybody without the Holy Ghost have the seal? Read that verse again, Brother D.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance.
All right. The earnest of our inheritance.
Until the redemption.
Until the redemption.
Of the purchased possession.
The purchased possession.
Unto the praise of His glory.
To the praise of His glory. Now then, let me explain that to you. What is an earnest? An earnest is an emblem which speaks of something in the future. It's an emblem. Or it's an act that denotes a future transaction. Listen now. It is only a part payment. That's all you say about it. Somebody said, when I got the Holy Ghost, I got all that God ever had for me. I'm sorry, you don't. You just got part. You just got the earnest. You just got the damn payment. In fact, you didn't hardly get nothing. Except just a little taste. That's really all you got. And Brother Manning said a lot of them didn't even get that. All right, listen to me now. It is a part payment. Now, listen, Paul's talking to us here. I'm talking about an indestructible church, and I'll get down where I'm going here in a minute, but I got to do all this other. You know, that's part of it. It is a part payment of that which will be paid in full in the future or at a future date. The Holy Ghost is God's earnest. Listen to me now. This is why I say that the church is indestructible. You can't destroy it. You can't even destroy me.
Why not?
You can destroy this body, but you can't touch me, honey.
No.
You can get these eyeballs out, but you can't touch me.
That's right.
You can hang my body on the cross, and this body can die, but you can't kill my spirit, because my spirit is gone to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Then touch me whenever you touch the body. The body's just the clay. The body's just the habitation. The body's just the outer wrapping. But I live inside of that body. And so when God give me the Holy Ghost, and I come up out of that water, baptized in His name, and my sins were remitted by the blood of the Lamb, and my name was written in the Lamb book of life, that Holy Ghost, that speaking in tongues, that indwelling of the new birth, you can have the power and the glory and the authority that God invested in the body of Jesus Christ, that you'll just believe what the Word of God has to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The destiny of the church of the living God is not determined by outside circumstances.
Never, never, never.
My destiny has nothing to do with my trials and my tribulations and my persecutions and my sicknesses and my afflictions and nothing else that can happen to me on the face of this earth. It would have nothing to do whatsoever with my destiny unless I allow it to affect my destiny and my relationship with God Himself. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us so. The destiny of the church is not determined by man. It's not determined by trials. It's not determined by trouble. It's not determined by your enemy. It's not determined by Satan. The destiny of the church is predetermined and predestinated. It's already been prefixed. There's a better plan that's made by God. The church is going to survive. The church is going to make it through. The church is going to win the battle. The church is going to triumph in glory.
That's why I said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word prevail means cannot defeat it. It means it cannot throw it down. It means it cannot overthrow it. It means it cannot destroy it. It means it's indestructible. You can't destroy it. You can kick it. You can stomp it. You can spit on it. You can cuss it. You can deny it. You can do it and reject it. You can hate it. But you can't. So you can't stop it. You can't destroy it. But all God's presence and God's spirit lives there. They didn't kill Jesus. Jesus said, no man can take my life. Why? But all God dwells inside of that body. And anywhere that God dwells, that becomes the seat of the power and the glory and the force and the majesty and the authority of all that God Himself is. Amen. That's why they couldn't destroy Jesus. He said, don't you know I could call right now for 12 legions of angels? They come here by garrisons. But he said, no man takes my life. I willingly lay it down. Anything that God lives in cannot be destroyed. You can't even die. You're not going to ever die. I said, you're not going to ever die. You're going to live forever. You're going to have a separation, but you're not going to die. You're not going to die. I said, you're not going to die. You're going to be transformed. You're going to be translated. Hallelujah. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You can't die because God lives in you. And His Spirit in me is my guarantee that I'm not going to die. That He is spiritually speaking. Hallelujah. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That church rises up out of that rock. I want you to know that the gates of hell, the strategy of the devil, the strategy of Jezebel, the strategy of all of the demonic powers of eternity and the world that has been in the past, it shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Hallelujah. The church is going to triumph.
Yes.
It's going to triumph. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, let's hasten for just another point or two. Romans 8, 35, 39, we won't read that, but we just refer to it. You know it well. Paul talked about a battle. He talked about a struggle. He talked about afflictions. He talked about despondency, distress, all kinds of persecutions and death and angels and demons and all Satan and you just name it. And he said, I'm persuaded that none of these things will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, what did he have a revelation of? He had a revelation of the triumphant church. He had a revelation as to who lived in him. Jesus stood that day right outside of Bethany on Mount Olivet before he left here. And he looked the disciples in the face, Acts 1 and 8, and he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That doesn't necessarily mean that it comes down upon you like a cloud and overshadows you and just stays right there. No, sir. The word that come upon you means after it has really completely taken possession of you. After it has completely come in and it's got possession of you. Then he says, this is where your power comes from. Your power comes from this possession. It comes from this indwelling. It comes from this God that has taken up residence inside of your body. And that word power means the ability to do. Hallelujah. It means a living presence that has taken up residence in the believer, giving him the power or the ability to overcome every opposing force and have absolute authority and complete control over every sin, over every temptation, over every evil, over every demon, over every sickness, over the devil and all the forces that he can muster up to come in opposition against you in your walk with God Almighty. Hallelujah. You shall receive the ability to do whatever is necessary to see to it that you get the victory over every opposition.
that's opposing your walk with God. That's why I said you could tread on scorpions. That's why I said you could take up serpents and they wouldn't hurt you. Now, he's not talking about taking up a rattlesnake nor an old cotton-mouthed moccasin. That's not what he's talking about. The serpent there is, of course, a phrase, just a phrase there. Talking about the devil and beasts and evil spirits, unclean spirits, lying spirits, hating spirits, every kind of old lustful spirit, perverted spirit, any other kind of spirit. You'll be able to take control of that thing and master it and have complete authority over it.
Right.
Amen.
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 Listen to what he said in Isaiah 43 and 2, and also verse 4 and 5. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy name, or for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. The church shall conquer the powers of the devil. How long can the church hold out against the attack of Satan? I'll tell you how long. Just as long as there's a God. I've heard saints get them testify. How long can I make it? How long can I hold on? How long can I stay a living for God? How long can I bear up under this cross? How long can I oppose this and this? I'll tell you how long you can do it. You can do it just as long as God lives in heaven. That's how long. Because His grace is sufficient for you. When you can't do it, then He'll do it for you. And when your legs get to buckling, you'll feel His strength. Hallelujah. Because the word fire there, it means that God has taken up residence. And that word fire in Isaiah means a super abundance of energy. And that's what Paul felt. They thought they had him backed up to a wall. They thought they had him defeated. Yes, they did. They had him down. They had him stoned at Lystra. They felt him this time. He said, no heartbeat, no life in it. Oh, yeah, we've got him this time. But wait a minute, devil. There's a life that's generated inside of his heart. You better not celebrate too early. You better not get your band together because there's something still inside of that old boy. You hadn't near got him defeated. You just think you have. And so his apostle was laying there. And the Bible said they left it for dead. They got down there and they felt in his heart and they listened. He's flat dead, boys. We killed him. We defeated. He'll never preach another one God son. He'll never disturb our kingdom no more. But what they didn't know, he's going to disturb the whole Roman Empire. There was a king who had some shaking coming. There were some governors going to be shaken. And some senators and some congressmen. Hallelujah. You hear me? I said, God's got to shake it. God's got to shake it. Oh, yes, sir. God's raising up preachers. I said, God, making up preachers. That's going to shake this kingdom. You hear me now? I thank God for these men that love Pentecost. I thank God that one of them comes out here and hear a Pentecostal message and stay to it. Listen, God can get a hold of our government. He needs to get a hold of every senator, every congressman, every mayor, every sheriff, every patrol. My God, we need to shake America with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so let's come to a close in just a few minutes. You didn't think I meant right this second, did you?
God, hallelujah.
Listen, saints of God, and preacher friend of mine, our victory is not in ourselves. It's not in our talent. It's not in our money.
It's not in our great churches. It's not in our choirs. It's not in nothing except God. It's where it's at. And if we think it's anywhere else, we are badly deceived. Because we have power simply because, according to the scripture that we had read to you tonight, because we are the election of God. We are the chosen of God. We are the body of Christ, which has become the channel through which salvation can come to a lost and dying world. And that's why He gives the church the victory. It's because that He has called, selected, and chose the church according to His own divine will for a divine purpose and to fulfill a divine plan on the face of this earth. And she shall not be defeated, nor conquered, nor overthrown until that purpose has been accomplished by God Himself. And when that purpose has been accomplished according to His divine will, then and only then will He rescue the church out of this world. And I don't know when His purpose is going to be fulfilled, and no other preacher knows it.
That's right. That's right.
But God knows. But this could be the night. I said it could be. Could be the night. It could be the night. It could be the night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right? If the church will set the direction in holiness, in godliness, in faith, in healings, in power, in revival, in authority, or anything else that the church sets the direction of, the devil cannot stop the church.
No.
He just can't. Brother Mangan, he can't. He just can't stop the church. But where? It's in our hands to set the direction. Because we are the church, led by the Spirit of God. And us collectively must set the course that the church is to follow in the direction and the path that it is to take. It's in our hand. It's in our hand. God help us to take the right course. But once we set sail, no ship, no demons, no night, no darkness, no opposition, no government, no infidels, no nothing can prevail in opposition to defeat the church of the living God. It's been tried. It's been tried. The destiny of the church is not supposed to be determined by man. It's determined by God before the foundation of the world, the Bible said. Brother Deeds, you still got your Bible? Go to Deuteronomy. This is the last scripture I have you read tonight. Verse 28. I read it, chapter 28. Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And I want you to begin reading at verse 1. And I want you to listen to this reading here. God, you ain't never heard a reading like this that God promised to His people if they would follow Him. That's Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and verse 1. And I want to read down to verse 13. I want you to notice this one thing, that the destiny of the church is not in the hands of the devil. It's not determined by the powers of the devil. It's not in the hands of men. It cannot be determined by opposition or by devil or nothing else. I want you to know that the destiny of the church of the living God on the face of this earth has already been determined by God Himself. If we'll do the will of God. I said, if we'll do the will of God, our destiny has already been determined. We're going to leave this world some of these days. That's what the will of God has been accomplished. All right, what did He say, Brother Deeds?
And it shall come to pass,
just keep a reading,
if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Listen to Him now, saints.
To observe and do all of His commandments.
Listen to Him, preachers.
Which I command thee this day.
Listen to Him, church.
That the Lord thy God.
Listen.
Will set thee on high.
Listen.
Above all the nations of the earth.
Listen.
And all these blessings shall come on thee.
Listen.
And overtake thee.
Listen.
If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Uh-huh.
Blessed shalt thou be in the city.
Yeah.
Blessed shalt thou be in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body.
Yeah.
And the fruit of thy ground.
Listen.
And the fruit of thy cattle.
Oh, listen.
The increase of thy kind.
Listen.
And the flocks of thy sheep.
Listen.
Blessed shall be the basket and thy store.
Listen.
Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in.
Ha.
And blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be
smitten. Listen to it, preacher. Listen to it. Just turn, saint. Just, the devil thought you had you down here tonight. The devil thought you had you destroyed, preacher. But no, sir. God's got his hand on you. Don't worry about the organization. Somebody says it's a splitting all up. Don't you worry about it splitting all up. If we'll do what this Bible says right here, my friend, God's going to bless the church of the living God and everyone that will stay in the kingdom of the Lord. He'll bless you when you go out. He'll bless you when you come in. Yes, he will. He'll supply your need. He'll cause them enemies of yours. I've seen it many times, Brother Kenneth. You've had a lot of them, Brother Manga, to bow at your feet. I've not got a preacher sitting on this platform tonight that God hadn't called the enemy to bow. He'll do it, my friend, because the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of the body of the church of the living God is the power that brings the enemy under subjection to the authority of the church. All right, keep reading.
Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in.
Oh, hallelujah.
And blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
Yes.
The Lord shall cause thine enemies.
The Lord shall cause the enemies.
That rise up against thee.
That rise up against thee.
To be smitten before thy face.
Yeah.
They shall come out against thee one way.
Yes.
And flee.
But they will take off
seven ways.
Another seven ways.
The Lord shall commend thy blessings upon thee.
The Lord shall commend thy blessings upon thee.
In thy storehouses.
In thy storehouses.
And in all that thou settest thine hand unto.
Yes.
And he shall bless thee in the land.
Yes.
Which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
You wait, you get down to that next verse.
The Lord shall establish thee on a holy people.
You know what the word establish means? Oh, yeah, my friend. He shall establish you. That's like David said, my heart is fixed. It's having a fixed foundation. Yeah. Something that's stable, unshakable, cannot be moved, cannot be destroyed, cannot be rooted up. Overthrown! He'll be there! After the storm! He'll be there! After the devil! And the Antichrist! And all of the wickedness are burning in hell! The church shall abound, my friend! It's indestructible! Upon this rock I'll build my church! And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it! I'll establish you! I'll put something underneath your feet that they'll have to destroy God before they can destroy you! Because up out of God rises the church. Not separate and apart from the church, but out of his bosom rises the church. Out of his loins rises the church. Now of his bones. Hallelujah.
What else is the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself.
Listen, church, now.
And he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways.
Walk in his ways.
And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee.
Listen to this.
And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in good,
mm-hmm,
in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle,
yeah,
in the fruit of thy ground,
oh, he goes
and
to
the land
you,
which the Lord sware unto thy, mm-hmm, fathers to give thee.
Yeah.
The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure.
Oh, he just opened it up.
The heaven to
oh, let him
the
take it away.
Unto the land.
Let the devil take it away, and the Lord going to heap it up. The devil made Job weak, the Lord made him strong. The devil put a little friction on him, the Lord come along and heal. The devil let a storm come, the Lord come along and bless him. Hallelujah. The devil come along, took all the children. God gave him 10 more. There was more fair than the 10 that the devil took. Hallelujah. His wife rose up against him. He said, boy, you talk like a feeling for me. Get behind me. I praise God. I'm the servant of God. That knows that's in the scripture. It cannot be destroyed. I've got God living down inside of me. Hallelujah. What the devil does to Job, God come along and outdone him. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. The
sin that's not the law. You take the sword and check the living God, because God dwells in the church.
Oh, Shadalo, Tosa Toro, Hitilio, Padalo, Tosa, Makata. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You gotta get in the church. You gotta get in the church. You gotta stay in the church. It's indestructible.
Come on, lift your hands and wave it to Jesus tonight.
Hallelujah. Come on, sirs. Notice on the devil tonight that you're not about to give up.
You just started. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can't destroy, Brother Urshan. I said you can't destroy. The secret of your preservation is in the church. You get out of the church,
I wouldn't give a plug nickel for your destiny. But you stay in the church, my friend, and hell will freeze over before the devil to eat you. All right, we haven't got all of this yet. Listen to what he said here. I like the rest of this.
The heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season.
Yes, he will.
To bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow.
Oh, hallelujah. And oh, this is not Brother Ike's doctrine. It's the word of God.
And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail.
Oh, listen to this. Read it over.
The Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail.
Hold on, preachers, make me the tail. I'm not the tail. I'm the head. The Lord said he'd make the church his people, his chosen generation, his elected of God. He'd make them the head and not the tail.
All right, what is he saying? He's saying this, that the church is not supposed to be the tail of anything. The church is supposed to be out front. I'm talking about the real church. Listen, I'm not going to let no charismatic make me the tail. You hear me? They're not going to outpraise me. They're not going to outbelieve me. They're not going to raise the dead for me. They're not going to heal us for me. No, sir. I'm not going to be the tail to the charismatic.
Praise God, I'm going to be the head for the manger. I believe the church ought to be out there and lead the way in revival. They ought to be out there in the way of praying for the sick. They ought to be out there in the front of preaching holiness. They ought to be out there in the front of doing whatever the Bible says. He said the church is going to be the head and not the tail. I'm not going to be bringing up the rear. Hallelujah! The church ought to set the direction! The church ought to be out there in front! It'll be on us pulling down the streets!
There ought to be us about working miracles. Hallelujah. 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 He said he would make us ahead. You keep standing across down the closing, whether you believe it or not. The church ought to be the direction setter.
Are you going to church?
The church ought to overcome every foe. It'll walk over every demon. It ought to pick up gates of Gazel and walk off with them and throw them back at the city that tried to catch them. Hallelujah. The church ought to have its foot like David had on the neck of Goliath and with the old Goliath's own sword and a sawing off his head. Hallelujah. But some of us, the devil and all of the world, have got their foot on our head. And they're almost trying to kill us. But I want you to know this one thing. If I know anything about that Bible tells me that the church is a church powerful. That the church is a church that's unconquerable. It's a church that's indestructible. It's a church that's going to reign forever. Hallelujah!